Good afternoon and welcome to The Lunchroom, sponsored by Navita Designs, powered by Reno Construction and Industrial Products Limited, and we are live on Radio Caribbean International for Wednesday, December the 4th, day number 338 of 2019, and we're on to show number 191. I'm your host, Calix George Jr., and of course you can find us online at our website, rcistlucia.com, that's rcistlucia.com, as well as our Facebook Live feed, and you can find us on the official page of Radio Caribbean International, and remember to please like and share that as well with your friends. And on today's menu in the lunchroom for our dish of the day, I'll be speaking with representatives of the Ministry of Health on their survey aimed at a better understanding of non-communicable diseases in St. Lucia. And for our entree, we'll be speaking, chatting about road safety as part of Road Safety Awareness Month. And I'll be speaking to two gentlemen in a little while, Mr. Lucien Joseph, who's the president of the National Taxi Union, as well as Mr. Michael Flood, second vice president of the National Council for Public Transportation. And a few birthday wishes for December the 4th go out to Mrs. Barbara Antoine Raymond, Mr. Jamal Daniel, Miss Carisha George, Mr. Jacin Fior, Mr. Jonathan Glass, Miss Ika Fergus, and Miss Merlin Snacker. Happy birthday to each and every one of you on your special day, and may you be blessed with health and happiness in the year to come. And as well, for special days, it's actually World Cookie Day. So I suppose you should give somebody a cookie out there. And in history, in 1791, Britain's Observer, and that's the oldest Sunday newspaper in the world, was published on December the 4th, 1791. In 1969, we saw the killing during a raid by 14 Chicago police officers of members of the Black Panther Party, and those members being Fred Hampton and Mark Clark. In 1977, Jean Bedel Bokassa, president of the Central African Republic, crowns himself Emperor Bokassa I of the Central African Empire. In 2017, the Thomas Fire in Santa Paula, California, that became the largest forest fire in that state, burning 440 square miles during that time. And now we're moving on to our dish of the day. The Daily Dish is brought to you with the kind compliments of our good friends at Tiles Plus. G6 Plus.
Come get your tiles. We have tile. Plus. We have tiles for inside and outside. Bathroom, kitchen with the best price. We range from colors to size. So anytime you want tile, come down and get tile. Everybody welcome to Tiles Plus. Come get your tiles with the low cost. Tiles with the style like a Christmas. All kind of tiles, cause we are the boss. Everybody welcome to Tiles Plus. Come get your tiles with the low cost. Tiles with the style like a crisscross. All kind of tiles, cause we are the boss. We are located Lance Road in Castries, Bossejou Grosile, and Clark Street in VA4. Telephone number 453-7939. That's telephone number 453-7939. Tiles Plus.
Serving now, The Daily Dish.
And welcome back to the lunchroom for this Wednesday, and thanks for joining us. Of course, just a quick note, if you are headed up north to Grosile, you may wish not to use the highway. Things are very much backed up thanks to some roadworks which are going on just after Sandals Halcyon. So my recommendation is that if you are in a bit of a rush or you don't want to sit down and park your vehicle on the Castries-Grosile Highway, you may wish to, in fact, use the back roads or secondary roads as an alternative. Now, we are going to be speaking about an upcoming survey being undertaken by the Ministry of Health, and that is to get a better sense of non-communicable diseases in St. Lucia and steps to take, of course, to deal with them. And I'm joined in studio for the second time, I do believe, with Dr. Shanna Sear-Filbert, and she is the Senior Medical Officer with Special Responsibility for Non-Communicable Diseases in the Department of Health, as well as Nurse Alma Dolor, and she is a nursing supervisor, I suppose, with the primary health care in the Department of Health. Ladies, thank you very much for joining us here in the lunchroom and for being able to give us a sense as to this new survey, which I understand is coming on from next week. This week. Oh, this week, in fact. So thank you very much. Now, tell us a little bit about exactly what is being looked at. Because from my understanding, you're actually going to be going out into the communities, visiting people at their homes, of course, asking them questions about their condition. So just give us a sense as to what is actually going to be involved in this survey.
Okay, so the STEP survey is actually what it's what we call a stepwise approach to surveillance. And of course, surveillance is paying very close attention to something. So we're paying very close attention to the risk factors for chronic non-communicable diseases like cancer, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, and lung disease. And it's what we call a behavioral risk factor population-based survey. So, of course, that involves going throughout the population. Of course, we're not going to survey everybody in St. Lucia. We're doing what we call a representative sample of St. Lucians. That will involve about 4,600 individuals, adults aged 18 to 69, who will be part of the survey. We will be asking questions as it relates to the risk factors for chronic non-communicable diseases like tobacco smoking, how persons are eating, whether they use a lot of salt, what they drink, whether they use a lot of alcohol. We are also going to be doing measurements because there are what you call metabolic or biological risk factors, which we measure as well. So those would include cholesterol levels, blood sugar levels, blood pressures, and we will be doing weight and height, and also the measurement around the waist, because we want to get a feel of how overweight persons are, because that would be a significant risk factor. The whole purpose of going around and doing all of that is so that we can see where our country is at in terms of data. As we have information as a ministry, we can actually put policies in place and so on to actually deal with those risk factors, the prevalence of them, and also look at ways of preventing other persons from getting those non-communicable diseases. So we're looking at St. Lucia now, but this survey will help us make changes for St. Lucians now and St. Lucians the next generations to come. So it's really important.
And you said you're going to be sampling in the region of 4,600 persons or households?
Persons. Okay. Households, but one person per household.
So you're only going to tackle one person per household.
Yes. What's going to happen is that after the random sampling have been done by 36 department, when they get to the households, the enumerators get to the households. If there are 6 or 8 persons, we look at persons 18 to 69. So you register those names, and the device will be selecting one person.
It's randomly. The individual is randomly selected. So there's no way that you're cheating in terms of who you want. The device has a program, and it will tell you who it wants.
So you're actually going to put in information, and based on the overall idea as to what sample you want. You may want so many females, you may want so many persons in a certain age percentile. So therefore, the software is going to determine which person in that household. So you shouldn't take offense if at the end of the day, granny doesn't get selected, but the youngster
in the
house.
So it's totally automatic.
So the person selected, what happens is that we have to seek consent. Mm-hmm. So what we're saying is that the persons who are selected, they are not forced to take part, but we really, really want to get a good representation. Mm-hmm. So if someone is selected, we are encouraging them to participate.
And did you say you're only looking at from what age?
18.
So you're only dealing with adults?
Adults, age of consent.
So you won't be able to get any childhood obesity information out of this?
No, that's not for that.
It's adults. Of course, the last time the survey was done, we did persons age 25 and up. We've seen the rise in NCDs in the younger age group, so we actually brought down the age so that we capture the 18-year-olds and above.
Right.
The other surveys for 18-year-olds and below are actually done as school-based surveys.
And how often do you do these surveys?
We do those every 5 years.
This one currently that you're doing?
This one, is done every 5 years.
Now, how long is this going to be taking out? When are you going to start? You said you're going to start from this week.
Yes.
People are going to be in the fields. how many persons should one expect to be visiting your home?
Each household is a team of two, a nurse and an enumerator. The enumerator gets the information, the questionnaire, and the nurse does the measurements. Mm-hmm. And there's an appointment where she comes here. Well, she comes, female nurses we are. She comes back to do the blood sugar, the cholesterol, and the triglycerides. But that's on an appointment basis.
Yes.
So that's every household will see two persons.
Twice. Well, yeah, two persons, because somebody has to come back.
At least two.
Yes. So
two
they have their ID, they'll be using their IDs, mm-hmm. and there are two persons per visit. But we're trying to get, we have teams, so the teams will be in a particular community. So let's say we're doing grocery day, we might have eight persons, but two per house. They don't go more than two per house.
And how long do you expect this entire process for survey to take?
Okay, so it's up to February 2020, but we're stopping by the 16th of December so persons can get some personal time.
Okay, so you won't, right? So you're not going to be coming during the Christmas?
Yeah, the festive season, we're giving them some space.
Okay,
yes.
And you come back after New Year.
And we commence in January.
It may be a little heavier by that point after Christmas.
Yeah, that too, but...
Certainly. So, but tell us about, in terms of how things are with St. Lucia and non-communicable diseases.
Okay,
what are some of the trends that we're seeing?
Okay, so that's the problem. This survey is really important to us as St. Lucians because in terms of the worldwide, 71% of mortality, 71% of causes of death are attributable to non-communicable diseases. Mm-hmm. St. Lucia is no exception, of course. Unfortunately, according to our national records from the epidemiology unit, 82% of our deaths every year are caused by non-communicable diseases. We're looking at cancers. We're looking at cardiovascular disease. By cardiovascular disease endpoints, we're looking at stroke and mm-hmm. heart attacks. We also have chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. Mm-hmm. We spoke about that the last time I was here. And so these are what's killing us. So as a country, we it's important to actually get the information, use that information to be able to work in educational mm-hmm. programs, look at what we can put in place as policies, because people just don't get NCDs as they get older. There are lots of behavioral
factors.
Factors which play form a part. And they start from very early. So we not only even thinking about the adults only, we're thinking about the children and what policies we put in place to prevent the NCDs in the future.
Okay, just added to that, I would like to say, while we're doing the checks, while the nurses come mm-hmm. to your homes, if any of your values are high, it creates an awareness for you. Okay, I didn't realize my pressure was up. I didn't realize my cholesterol was up. So we refer you to if you have a private doctor, we have our community centers, we refer you for follow-up to see what is happening. So it's not only that we are doing the survey to see what's happening for our data, but
yes.
we also want to help us to see if something is going on. We can work on it now before it's too late, because you get a chance to get your results right away.
Now, I imagine going out and doing those surveys, you may be put under a lot of pressure, because
yes.
once you go into a house and you're being told, okay, only this one person is getting checked out, the other persons may very well want to be checked out as well, and they may have different concerns. Is that something that you're going to be a little flexible on at all? How is that... Or is that left to the discretion of the nurse?
It's research, of course.
Yes, I know, and not for your...
No,
yes.
It's somebody just asking, can you do my pressure, please?
Yes, that's a good question. There is always the option mm-hmm. of going into the community health centers. Of course, we always do screening mm-hmm. for free. The only part of the survey that's going to be different from what we usually do in the health centers is actually the free cholesterol checks. Mm-hmm. And we also checking urine for what you call
kidney.
Creatinine and sodium. So we're doing all of that, which is quite expensive. Mm-hmm. But we're doing it during the survey. That, of course, we wouldn't be able to offer in the health centers for the other persons who probably would want to get checked as well for free. But we will be checking. We routinely check in the health center
yes.
blood pressures, mm-hmm. blood sugars, waist circumference,
height
and weight. So those things,
right.
yes, will be available all the time.
And I imagine because mm-hmm. of the fact that you're actually doing these tests, you're going to have a lot of back-end work to do now, not just in terms of crunching numbers, but now actually going out and doing the diagnosis and
yes, because there will be a referral system. So, yes, like she's saying, we're not just going to... we give you what you call your a results. Feedback form. Yeah. Everything we find when we actually measure you and do your blood tests and so on, right there at your home. So you're right. getting basically
a free visit,
they have screening right there at your home. Everything we do, we actually document. So we document on the tablet because we now need to upload the data, but we're giving you a paper with everything we find. So that paper, of course, you can use to go see your physician and so
for
on
follow
and so
up.
Forth.
And of course, I'm sure that there'd be good confidentiality in terms of
how
things
That goes without saying. All of our workers have signed off in terms of they've signed contracts. Confidentiality is key. They cannot divulge any information.
And we had a training. We have had training early November. We had a comprehensive training, and that was one of the paramount factors we spoke about, confidentiality.
Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of the outcomes, the reporting, how soon can we expect to actually see that coming out?
Okay, so this survey is, it's done in St. Lucia, but this survey is actually worldwide. It's done in all of the world. It's we follow like the template that is set out, that's been proven to give very good results and so on, sound data. The information gets uploaded onto electronically onto a website that is responsible for collecting all the data in all the countries. That we the information goes through. We have persons from epidemiology who will be working with the data collected, but also persons from the World Health Organization. So next year, of course, because we end around February, so we're looking a few months after that. We should have
because
data.
The analysis takes a little while.
Yeah, it does.
Okay, so you only get the report perhaps February of 2021.
Within the same year. But it would
we're just saying that it won't be like
March, April.
Right. Yeah, it won't be.
But within the same year.
Yes.
Right. And so is that. I mean, within the department, are you then going to be using that information to strategize in terms of where to tackle certain services in certain communities, perhaps?
Right. Now you have, I mean, NCDs are big on health agenda. In fact, for the whole world, because NCDs cause what you call premature mortality. So persons are dying before they're supposed to. Yes. So that is something we're working on. We're looking at our statistics from epidemiology, and we see here's a problem. But as we get the raw information in terms of behavioral risk factors, we can now say, hey, you know what? This is we need to sort out this policy before we do that one. But so many people are overweight. We probably need to set up which agency we're going to get funds from to probably look at how many gyms we could put around, what programs we probably need to put in the schools. So that there's an attitude of physical activity as opposed to sedentarism. How are we going to look at, let's say, restaurants? How are we going to tackle salt in terms of food? Because we're measuring all of that through the survey.
Now, I know you said it's looking primarily at behavioral issues, but are you also going to be looking at existing incidence rates? So if you actually get somebody who already has diabetes or maybe already has... somebody already has heart disease
part of the questionnaire includes that. So if the person's already diabetic or hypertensive,
we pick up that
information as well. So it would assist.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of geographic spread as well, have you seen any trends at all in terms of the last surveys that have been done? Are there any areas in particular that have greater worrying, are people in Castries less active than people in Choiseul, for example? I mean, certain trends that may suggest, concern or behavioral changes, whether it's required.
Okay, so one of the problems we had, and that is why we really need St. Lucians this time around to really participate. The last time we did steps in 2012, the response rate was too low. These persons didn't respond the way they were supposed to.
Okay.
So the data we collected, you need a response rate above 60% to say that the information is representative of the population. So we couldn't generalize the information we got in 2012, yes? So right now we need St. Lucians to participate because we need to be able to generalize that information. We need to also be able to pick up, like you're rightfully saying, the persons we probably looked at in Soufre, for example, we realized they had more of X than the persons in Castries and so on. So as you have a representative sample, you can now pull out information which, according to you, allows you to be able to make very key decisions and you know, analyze the information.
Yes, so that's why we are here, because we're really encouraging people to participate, because mm-hmm. we want something good to come. It's a wonderful opportunity mm-hmm. where we, something amazing can come out of this, mm-hmm. where we can really help St. Lucia. It's our thing. We always hear
data is taken from the U.S.,
US right. Africa, wherever. So now we have a chance to do it here. And if every, like at least 7 out of 10 persons participate, we will be able to have a good representative sample.
The other thing is, and I'm happy you're asking all of that, because, for example, if we collect data in 2019, 2020, the surveys run every 5 years. When we run it in the next five mm-hmm. years, we can now compare and say, oh, okay, the programs we actually put in place because of the findings, they've improved things
right.
or they've not helped. What else do we
can
need
we
to
do?
So,
mm-hmm.
so in, no matter how you look at it, it's win-win. Okay, this is, we need the evidence from St. Lucia mm-hmm. so we could do for St. Lucia.
Yes.
Yeah. And it, we cannot continue collecting information from the U.S.
Right.
And it does not
pertain
to us.
It doesn't fit necessarily.
Okay, because
exactly.
we have our own idiosyncrasies. We have our own in terms of ethnicities and so on. That is different. So we need the data from St. Lucians mm-hmm. and they need to participate so
yes.
we can help them.
So yeah. you're going out there for another 2 weeks or thereabouts?
Yes, about
ending.
Yes, yes.
So from right now until the 16th of
yes,
December,
about, yes.
Some person, some lucky individuals who are going to get some free screenings.
Yes,
are
yes,
gonna,
free screenings.
You're going to be coming to their homes. I assume that you said there's a nurse and an enumerator.
Yes.
So somebody, they should be fairly well recognizable,
yes,
I imagine.
Yes, they have IDs. If yeah. they have any concerns, the epidemiology department has a list of everybody
all the
who
names.
Goes around. So if anybody has any concerns, I know it's around the season, persons can get a little finicky, and with reason, feel free to call the epidemiology unit and say, I have so-and-so. Are these persons on your list? Of course, they're going to have ID, but just as a second way of verification.
Plan B. Of course.
Yes.
Plan B.
Yes. But we really encouraging St. Lucians to participate. Mm-hmm. This is big. The survey is very costly, and
yes.
that
yes,
investment has mm-hmm. been done with every St. Lucian in mind, because mm-hmm. we need St. Lucians to participate. We need that information. We need to be able to make changes for you.
Yeah, because if we're yes. going to get sponsorship from other organizations, we
you
have to give
data.
Them evidence.
Exactly,
we need evidence, and this is the time where we're saying, okay, we can help our own selves
yeah.
to just by responding.
Right.
Just
so don't be shy, don't be
no,
bashful,
just by
don't be fearful.
Yes.
And hopefully we will definitely get
yes.
a higher than 6 out of 10
yes.
Response rate this
forward.
Time
yes.
around. Nurse Dolor and Dr. Philbert, thank you very, very much for
thank
joining me
for
here in the lunchroom
today.
For our dish of the day.
Yeah.
And hopefully you can come back maybe a little later on next year
yes.
to give us a sense as to how things are going and
yes.
maybe another appeal if needs be. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for allowing us here.
And that was our dish of the day.
This has been The Daily Dish.
Plus. Style. Complete plus. Your style.
Style.
We have style.
Style.
Plus. We have styles for inside and outside. Bathroom, kitchen with the best price. We range from colors to size. So anytime you want tile, come down and get tile. Everybody welcome to Tiles Plus. Come get your tiles with the low cost. Tiles with the style like a crisscross. All kind of tiles, cause we are the boss. Everybody welcome to Tiles Plus. Come get your tiles with the low cost. Tiles with the style like a crisscross. All kind of tiles, cause we are the boss. We are located Lance Road in Castries, Bossejou Grosile, and Clark Street in VA4. Telephone number 453-7939. That's telephone number 453-7939. Tiles Plus.
And we were just speaking to Nurse Alma Dolor and Dr. Sir Philbert, Shana C. Philbert, and they are, of course, representing the Ministry of Health and their survey, a stepwise approach to surveillance looking at non-communicable diseases. Now, we're going to take our weather break at this time, and when we come back, I'll be speaking to two gentlemen, Mr. Michael Fretlad, representing the NCOPT, National Council for Public Transport, as well as Mr. Lucien Joseph, the president of the National Taxi Union.
Oh, oh, oh. Merry Christmas!
Yes, it's that time again. Navita Designs, now housed at Reno Construction and Industrial Products Limited, Vite Boutte, is all stocked and ready to offer you the most unique and elegant Christmas decor for any space. Whether it's white Christmas, red and white peppermint, multicolored candy, or the more contemporary, elegant combinations, we've got it. Don't forget that small accent pieces goes a long way to give that wow effect. And what says Christmas more than the act of giving? So remember to pick up all your gift wrapping essentials and Christmas stockings to bring good cheer. At Navita Designs, we do the creative thinking for you. Visit us at our new showroom in Vite Boutte on the John Compton Highway or call us at 450-7246. Navita Designs Christmas Collection, sponsored by Reno Construction and Industrial Products Limited. Let the magic begin.
Fritas, Fritas, come and get your Fritas, yeah. We're giving them away at Island Style, Thailand Bat.
So are you mad? What you mean, Fritas?
Well, madam, for every 100 tiles you buy at our regular price at Island Style, we'll give you up to an amazing 25 tiles free.
Really?
And to be honest, yeah, we've probably gone a little mad.
Wow, that's a deal. And good timing too. So I can pretty up my house in time for Christmas. And look how nice those tiles are.
Fritas, Fritas, ceramic tiles, porcelain tiles, all tiles, no exception.
Visit us at Bella Rosa, Rodney Bay, John Crompton Highway, Castries, and Latoni, View 4. Or call 452-450 or 453. Tile.
Attention, attention, attention. Introducing Palmer Automotive Batteries, a leading brand in Asia, now in St. Lucia. Palmer Automotive Batteries are now available at Battery World Plus, Rodney Bay and Massad, Shamari's Garage, Blair's Auto and other leading store outlets. Palmer batteries are of the highest quality and standard with full warranty. Palmer is powered by cutting-edge technology and the leader of the new era. Palmer brand, the best priced batteries on the market. Call us today, 453-7037, 451-2264 or 450-0390.
Caribbean Metals Limited presents Spin to Win promotion. Spend $500 or more and get a chance to spin to win instant prizes. Spend $2,500 or more and get a chance to spin and enter into the grand prize draw. We have not forgotten our account holders. Pay on your account and get the same chance to win. Promotion runs the first week every month until December. The grand prize, $5,000 cash on December 6, 2019. Like, share, and subscribe to our pages on the various social platforms for more details. Terms and conditions apply. This promotion is approved by the National Lotteries Authority. Caribbean Metals, we've got you covered. Guaranteed.
Get 5 weeks free when you buy home or contents insurance from Beacon. Our insurance is very affordable, and we've got online and mobile services for your convenience. Call us at 458-5860 or log on to beacon.co.tt for a quote today.
This is Radio Caribbean International. It's now time for the weather news.
It's now time to take a look at the latest weather report as of 12 noon today. It's the 4th of December, 2019. The forecasters is our Thomas Ugist and Hi Cynthia Camille. The present weather at Huronera, cloudy with showers nearby. And at George Giles, it is cloudy. The present temperature at Huronera, 30 degrees Celsius or 86 degrees Fahrenheit. Last night's minimum temperature at Huronera was 28 degrees Celsius or 82 degrees Fahrenheit. Wind at Huronera is blowing from the east at 23 miles per hour or 37 kilometers per hour. And the rainfall after a 24-hour period ended at 8 a.m. No rainfall recorded at Huronera and only a trace recorded at George Giles. The total rainfall for the month of December thus far, 15.5 millimeters at Huronera and 17.1 millimeters at George Giles. Sun will set to the 26 before 6 and rise in the morning at 14 minutes after 6. Now for the forecast for St. Lucia, valid for the next 24 hours. The winds blowing from the east near 21 miles per hour or 33 kilometers per hour with occasional gust. The weather, partly cloudy skies, becoming cloudy at times with scattered showers, some of which may be moderate to heavy. A recap of the forecast for St. Lucia, valid for the next 24 hours. The winds blowing from the east near 21 miles per hour or 33 kilometers per hour with occasional gust. The weather, partly cloudy skies becoming cloudy at times with some scattered showers, some of which may be moderate to heavy. The marine forecast foresees a 25 mile or 40 kilometer radius from St. Lucia. Low tide for the Castries Harbor will be at 2 minutes before 4 this afternoon, and the high tide will be at 8 minutes before 10 tonight. The VFO Bay's low tide will be at 25 after 5 this afternoon. and the high tide will be at a minute before 11 tonight. The seas are moderate to locally rough. The waves are 5 to 7 feet, the same as 1.5 to 2.1 meters in open waters. And there's an advisory out for small craft operators and sea bathers to exercise caution due to brisk winds and rough seas. So please be guided accordingly. For the Lesser Antilles, generally fair skies, becoming cloudy at times with some scattered showers. And our weather summary, moisture and instability in the lower atmosphere over the Lesser Antilles will cause periods of cloudiness and showers to develop over the islands during the next 24 hours. And that is our official weather report. Join us again in the morning at around 6 for our next official report right here on the station. Thank you, Thomas, and hi, Cynthia, for the update at this hour. The weather was made possible by Island Style Thailand Bath, Battery World Plus, Caribbean Metals, and Beacon Insurance.
This has been RCI's Weather News. For more information, call the Weather Hotline at 454-3452. RCI 101 number 1.
Come and get your free tiles, yeah! We're giving them away at Island Style Thailand Bath.
So are you mad? What you mean free tiles?
Well, madam, for every 100 tiles you buy at our regular price at Island Style, we'll give you up to an amazing 25 tiles free.
Really?
And to be honest, yeah, we've probably gone a little mad.
Wow, that's a deal. And good timing too. So I can pretty up my house in time for Christmas. And look how nice those tiles are.
Free tiles, ceramic tiles, porcelain tiles, all tiles, no exception. Visit us at Bella Rosa, Rodney Bay, John Crompton Highway, Castries, and Latoni, View 4. Or call 452-450 or 453. Tile.
Attention, attention, attention. Introducing Palmer Automotive Batteries, a leading brand in Asia, now in St. Lucia. Palmer Automotive Batteries are now available at Battery World Plus, Rodney Bay and Massad, Shamari's Garage, Blair's Auto and other leading store outlets. Palmer batteries are of the highest quality and standard with full warranty. Palmer is powered by cutting-edge technology and the leader of the new era. Palmer brand, the best price batteries on the market. Call us today, 453-7037, 451-2264 or 450-0390.
Caribbean Metals Limited presents Spin to Win Promotion. Spend $500 or more and get a chance to spin to win instant prizes. Spend $2,500 or more and get a chance to spin and enter into the grand prize draw. We have not forgotten our account holders. Pay on your account and get the same chance to win. Promotion runs the first week every month until December. The grand prize, $5,000 cash on December 6, 2019. Like, share, and subscribe to our pages on the various social platforms for more details. Terms and conditions apply. This promotion is approved by the National Lotteries Authority. Caribbean Metals, we've got you covered. Guaranteed.
Get 5 weeks free when you buy home or contents insurance from Beacon. Our insurance is very affordable, and we've got online and mobile services for your convenience. Call us at 458-5860 or log on to beacon.co.tt for a quote today.
And welcome back to the lunchroom. It's Wednesday. Of course, we have Letla coming up a little bit later. And tomorrow, we're going to be speaking with Mr. McDonald Dixon about a play that is being put on very soon. And it is called Zookeeper, as well as another one he has, he's planning on putting on just after Independence 2020. My apologies. And that is called Kesno. But right now, we are going to be speaking about road safety. Of course, a very important matter in St. Lucia. I mean, we've heard, of course, that if you can drive in St. Lucia, you should be able to drive anywhere else in the road. The question in the world, the question is, are you driving safely on those roads? And we have seen over the years, I'm not sure if it's a rise, but quite a number of accidents, and in some instances, unfortunately, fatal accidents indeed. And I'm joined by the president of the National Taxi Union, Mr. Lucien Joseph, as well as the second vice president of the National Council for Public Transportation, that is Mr. Michael Flood. Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining me here in the lunchroom to discuss road safety as part of the Road Safety Awareness Month. We have seen some videos coming out, you know, of late of certain, in the case of bus drivers, being a little bit of aggressive and having issues with passengers, road rage. Is that still a very big problem, you'd think, in terms of the condition, the psychological condition of some of the drivers on the road, Mr. Flood?
Yes, it is. And it is of concern to the National Council on Public Transportation. And what we have tried to do over the last few months is to more or less use a collaborative effort with the ministry, of course, with the police. But in some cases, it's not forthcoming. The associations, whilst they are trying to discipline drivers, at times you find these very rogue drivers will bypass the association, bypass the National Council, go to the ministry, and they're favored. All right? So the situation, whilst it is a situation that needs to be addressed, but
so you're saying that you have a system in place as to how to discipline and guide drivers, but then sometimes they try to usurp that entire process and seek some other person to assist them and bail them out.
They do that, and in some cases they're facilitated by the Ministry of Transport, which to my mind, it's not right. What the approach that the ministry is taking, whilst they need to be disciplined or they believe something needs to be done, but the person or the people has a legal right, and when they go to the lawyers, they're afraid of being sued and what have you. My approach is, look, whilst you need to work. In fact, let me just draw a scenario. There was a particular driver from Des Moines who assaulted the head dispatcher a few months ago, slapped her in her line of duty. Added to that, there was a ruckus on the bus stand with the president of the association. The association took the initiative to write to the National Council. The National Council in turn intervened. We met with the parties and decided, okay, look, let us take it to the ministry because we want that matter addressed. The transport board, met, took a decision. Lo and behold, that individual's permit was renewed without the association and the National Council knowing. Be that as it may, they said they got...
And you have representation on that transport board?
On the transport board, yes. Be that as it may, they said they got guidance from the AG's office that the permit should be renewed. Understand. But if you get that guidance from the AG's office, for Christ's sake, you need to inform the association that the gentleman belongs to. You need to inform the National Council, which is the umbrella body. That was not done. When I took it up, it was like, what are you talking about?
It's quite an interesting situation that you're facing there, because you're saying that you have no means of disciplining your members. You have effectively, it's completely out of your hands at this point in time.
There is a disciplinary committee on the Road Transport Board. That's a committee that met and agreed that some action should be taken. Because here it is. The chief dispatcher is an agent of the Ministry of Transport. That individual assaulted the lady. He was convicted in court. But yet still the ministry renewed this permit. And it states clearly, the conditions for having the permit states clearly. Mm-hmm. You have to refrain from being convicted for any serious offense, and an offense where you slapped a dispatcher in her line of duty. To me, there is nothing more serious than that. But yes, he's blind the road.
It seems, therefore, that the public is going to continue to be facing with certain drivers who may not be the best persons on the road transporting them.
It is a fact, because as we speak, the last video you saw where that driver took the lady's cell phone for demanding monies. I mean, you have a situation where you're not happy with a passenger. There are things you could do. You don't have to touch that passenger. You don't have to confiscate anything of the passenger. You drive straight to the police. The person is on the bus. You drive straight to a police station. Okay? You report the matter. Let the police deal with it. So, you know, all in all, and mind you, whilst I welcome that workshop the Grocery Association had with the drivers in trying to help them with customer service and what have you, very good.
And the ads as well. I can see some of them.
Very good. But here it is. The very first incident emanated from Grozile. So it goes to show it must be a continuous thing. You cannot just, or we cannot just decide, okay, we do one workshop and it ends there. I honestly believe, people may call me Saddam if they want, I honestly believe we have drivers within the system that needs to get something else to do.
As it is right now, I think we have a call coming in, so maybe we should try to take this call first. Oh, no, looks like we've lost it. As it is right now, in terms of anybody who wants to become a bus driver or wants to join the service, is there still a big difficulty in doing that in terms of the permit system?
No, to become a bus driver, once your license is endorsed to be to be a bus driver, you could drive a bus on any route. If you live in one route to go to another, you need to get a recommendation letter from the previous route you were on. Although some associations don't really ask for that.
Right.
But it is something that we've always...
We have a call coming in, so let's see if we can take this call. Good afternoon and welcome to the lunchroom. What's on your plate today?
Good afternoon. Chicken roti.
Hello?
Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon. Go ahead, caller.
To make two comments. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. So one, your guest referred to that you cannot confiscate the person's cell phone, but you can drive them to the nearest police station or what have you. But wouldn't that be, to a certain extent, kidnapping? I mean, the person, you are taking somebody against their will to a location that they did not request, and the person has not committed any crime of such or anything. So what if the person insists that they want to be put down, but then now you're going to be driving off their route or wherever they want to go with them?
Thanks for that call, caller. Allow me to... Oh, yes?
And another thing, with regards to the route bans being reinstated without their knowing, their knowledge and all of that, I mean, we have so many places where policemen are the actual owners of the minibuses and the route bans, or ministers, and they have drivers and all of that. So even that is, I could consider, conflict of interest when whoever can pull strings to get things done back on way like they say. So even that in itself creates a problem. So that's another thing they need to look into as to who exactly are the owners and of those route bans or those buses. Thank you.
Two very interesting points. Thank you very much, caller, for that. Any thoughts on that?
Okay, if I could take the last point.
Yes. Yeah.
There are no laws in St. Lucia precluding anybody, okay, from owning a route permit. Of course, there are situations where people that have come to us where people are of the opinion. Mm.
But who has the final say? Who has the final say in terms of the issuing of route permits?
It's a ministry. I mean, the recommendations come from the association to the National Council.
But when you say the ministry, is it the Chief Transport Officer? Is it the Minister? Is it the Transport Board?
The Chief Transport Officer, all right? Like I said, recommendations come from the association to the National Council, and then the National Council further send a recommendation to the ministry.
Before you get to the first question, let's just take another call. Good afternoon, and welcome to the lunchroom. What's on your plate today?
Hi, good afternoon, colleagues, and good afternoon to your guests.
Good afternoon.
Yeah. I'm a bus operator, right? Now, just like Mr. Flood spoke a while ago concerning situations where you have bus drivers, you know, you have certain problems with them, and then the resort the ministry, and the ministry just go ahead and process the documents. We had a situation with a particular driver where the driver has disassociated themselves with the association. Yeah? So now that driver, the document is up for renewal. He's not a member, so we're not supposed to be processing the documents. They went to the ministry in trying to get the permit renewed. The ministry is going to send the documents back to the association and ask the association to process that document. Okay. The association goes ahead and they make the recommendation. The recommendation would suggest that the ministry at least call the association in with the particular individual and hear what the situation is like. But that is not what happened. The ministry will just take it on their own and just go and just renew the route permit. And then the individual will come and just flash the permit in the association's face. Now, I believe that is something that is not right, you know? And so we have that problem with a lot of associations where the ministry just go ahead and just do what they want, and then we continue to have problems with these individuals, you know?
Thank you very much.
I don't know what is wrong, who is not doing their job properly, but I believe there is a lot of problem at the ministry that needs to be taken care of.
Thanks very much, caller, for that point. It seems right now that we have a sort of a situation where the expectation is that the associations are supposed to be providing a service, a quality of service. People are looking towards you to deliver that service, but then you're having issues in terms of controlling that service on the side of the regulator, who is the ministry. How is that going to be dealt with?
Let me see here. The application for renewal, it states first your recommendation from your association,
mm-hmm.
then recommendation from the National Council, and then you proceed to the ministry. If for whatever reason the person has agreed to disassociate with the association still have a right to note on the application that this person has disassociated and as a result and put reasons why. You cannot deny that person. The association cannot deny that person a recommendation. It may be a bad one, but you have to recommend.
So the process isn't being followed then?
Then you go to the National Council. By virtue of you disassociating with your association, the National Council will do the same.
Right. Right? Now, Mr. Joseph, we haven't forgotten you as yet. I know you haven't been able to get in, but we have another call coming in, so let's take it. Good afternoon, and welcome to the lunchroom. What's on your plate today?
Caller, good afternoon. I need to say, I don't know if this is your last week, but I think you have been doing a tremendous program thus far. I need to make a few comments, but not now. I have a concern, and that has to do with a person with a disability. How many drivers recognize a white cane? The white cane sends out a message. When you, a driver, driver sees a white cane, that means this person has a visual disability. I'm speaking from experience because I'm a very impaired individual, visually impaired.
Mm-hmm.
And when you about to enter a vehicle with your white cane, drivers say, "Kasungo wali, wait, you are not come my boss." I pay my wages like anybody else. And sometimes I feel like taking them on because I'm not a weakling, but I don't do that. What must we do about such a situation? Thank you,
caller. Thank you very much, caller. Thank you very much for that. Any thoughts about that, Mr. Flood?
Yes. Again, it goes with training.
Yeah.
Because, like I've said, a lot of the drivers, I think we mentioned that before we started, a lot of drivers come, they don't see it as a business. Remember, they're drivers. They're just there to ply the route, make a dollar, make a few dollars for the owner, and do not know of the recommendations and the instructions that they need to follow. We need to continue the education process because I think there's a dearth of education when it comes to public transportation. And what we can do, again, like I said, through a collaborative effort, I believe a lot could be achieved. Because when the National Council started, and when I formed the National Council in 1983, I'm sure one could remember we had that skit on television, Grandpa Comes to Town. Okay, it was a form of educating people how to go across the pedestrian crossing and, you know, how to drive on the road and what have you. And since then, we've had nothing. Fortunately, a few weeks ago, I got a call from the ministry where they're looking to you know, at least start something all over again. But I think education is key. And unless we can do that, I think the problem will remain.
Mr. Joseph, I mean, your union, of course, seems to have a lot of experience in terms of customer service, particularly because you're geared to the tourism sector. Is there anything that perhaps the National Council membership could learn, or can you share anything at all? Because we don't seem to hear as many issues regarding the taxi sector.
There's a lot of issues.
Mm.
I don't think nothing you have said there is different from the taxi sector. It is just that, I mean, before taxi was looked at a lower grade profession, and persons didn't want to do taxi. Right now, after the collapse of the banana industry, a lot of people now decided, well, that's the way the bread is. But that doesn't mean they have a passion for what they do. They do it because of the money. And what he's saying there is precisely what it is. I mean, the whole issue is that everybody in the sector is not, if you have a passion for something, you grow into it. You make it your home. You make it belong as if it belongs to you. But when you don't have a passion and you're just there because they give you a job, and one of the things I have always said, and I believe in it with my whole heart, to control bus drivers and taxi drivers, there is one thing I think that is very important. You should never give one person more than 3 vehicles on the road or two. Because these same drivers you see that you employed, they are the one that goes out and do all the mischievous things on the road. Because they don't care.
So you think there should be a cap on the cap, ownership,
you know,
so that nobody has to...
You have an accident, bam. While this, I have an accident with Mr. Flood bus, next day I'm driving with your bus. I don't have to wait for Mr. Flood to fix. I don't have no obligation to drive for Mr. Flood. So these are the things I believe that need to be done. But secondly, I really believe that the ministry, as it is there now, has taken everything away from the National Taxi Union, and they're doing it themselves. Now, you know why? Because they believe that if they keep the drivers together, while it will be a better thing for the country, but it will not be for them, because they cannot do what they want when persons are united. Even little things I see the ministry is engaging with now. Everything right now, you have a regulatory committee. This regulatory committee is supposed to regulate the taxi drivers, meet with them, know who's supposed to get a plate, who's not supposed to get a plate. If somebody have something to do, they go to the regulatory committee. Then we make recommendation to the road transport board, and then it continues from there. It's not like that anymore. The minister, as it is there now, is the first time in history I've seen that. A lot of the areas on in the act says the minister, but you cannot have a minister to sit on every little nonsense that, you know, the minister really is the policy maker. The permanent secretary is the one that runs the ministry. If the permanent secretary and the chief transport officer cannot run the transport board, cannot make decisions on behalf of the sector, it doesn't make sense. Now, this is what is happening. Look, you have taxi drivers right now that is on the road being charged because they paid their license and they cannot get the receipt. Now, hear what I'm saying in 2019. You mean to say to me, if I pay my license today, within the next 3 months for me to get the card? But that doesn't make no sense. These are the things that goes on the road. Now, I have no problem with the police. But I believe, in my humble opinion, the police and the road transport board and the minister, there are three huge gaps that need to be addressed. The police need to know what the minister is doing. The minister needs to know what the road transport board is doing. But everybody works on the old turf. The minister, some the minister.
But what do you mean by that? The police need to know what the minister is doing.
Let us say for some reason you realize that this driver is not supposed to be on the road because he does not meet the requirements. The road transport board, the ministry have to write to the police. The police then will have to take what it needs to do and get the driver and get him off the road. But that same driver there sometimes can go on the other side and says, look, give this man a hearing for me because this and this and that, this and that. Now, I am saying the policy maker, when it sits with the board, they set policies. The permanent secretary then pass the policy down to the chief transport officer. And that is the way it is. Now, you don't know who to go to now. There is no coordination. There is nothing on the road. I mean, we need to have another show for me to take you through where the National Taxi Union is.
Mm-hmm.
We are way off. We right now are in more trouble than St. Lucia itself. I'm telling you, we are just not saying nothing, because why should I talk when I realize that nobody listens? So you let the system go the way it is, and there will be a time then somebody will want to learn.
Well, certainly we would like to hear your story in more detail.
Yes.
About that situation. And yes. So, of course, you're certainly welcome to come back. But just in general, though, how do you feel about, and of course we're talking about road safety and coming back to this, how safe are our roads right now? Are you satisfied? I mean, we don't hear too many serious accidents relating to buses or taxis, but there may be others which go unreported in the media. But how safe are our roads, you think?
The road safety for me is not bad. But let me say this. There is little things that need to be corrected. I mean, my elated friend beside me there, Will, there is one thing I do not like with the operation of the minibuses, especially on the two-lane road there. If you know that you will stop at any time, you should not be in the inner road.
Right.
You should always stay on the outer lane. Now, this is something that caused a lot of problems. The other thing that I believe that we need to clarify and we need to put in place, where a bus can stop.
Mm-hmm.
So then, if I'm driving behind you and I know your stop is about 10 feet from here, I will make sure I'm very cautious that I will not hit you from behind. But one of the things that they do in St. Lucia, people stop buses anyway. Now, as my lady friend is saying, education is key. People want to do everything the way they want. And if they say stop and you don't stop, they want to fly to the roof. But all over, when you go around, when I go to Jamaica, the last time that I was in Jamaica, and you have a 14-seater, the man is saying, make yourself smaller.
Small yourself.
And you have about 100 persons in that. And, you know, and they get it to work. But in St. Lucia, it does not work.
Right, we don't have a problem with overcrowding anymore.
you understand? Yeah. So I believe what we need to do on the road is that we need to have more patrol for police. I mean that a roundabout supposed to be a little bit more accommodative. I think we should take some drivers on this thing and to explain to them
more education about how to go around.
You know, and I think that is what it need to do. We need to have something they call points on license, and I support these things.
Mm-hmm.
These are the things I support on the road.
The merit points.
Merit points. I support this because you can have a man continuously having accident and he's on the road, and mm-hmm. you know, people's safety is not there. And I believe the police could patrol on the road. Have to be, especially in the night. Because on a Friday night, when it's about 10, 11 o'clock, I try to stay away from the road, the way the young people drive and things like that. When you're talking about safety, I think these are the things that need to be looked at in a formality so that we can see.
Is that one of the reasons why bus drivers aren't providing a lot more nighttime service?
Yes and no. And let me add to a little what Novi just said. I honestly believe that bus drivers, trucks, and minibus drivers, there must be a law that in the four lane that they should only operate on the outer lane, because it makes absolutely no sense, like Nobby says, especially the buses plying the northern route, knowing full well you have to stop along the way, and you're on the inner lane. That means in order to stop, you have to try to find a way to fit on the outer lane, causing a traffic pileup. So yes, that law, I think we need that law as of yesterday. Training is something that is, like I said, it is needed like yesterday, because again, people coming into the system by virtue of seeking employment.
Right. Let's just take this last call. So we've lost it, but go ahead.
People come into the system by virtue of looking for employment. It's not that their heart is in the system. Sure. It's a job for them.
Right.
All right. Now the problem here lies with bus owners giving drivers a quota. Look, at the end of the day, I want $250. So go kill, smash, do whatever you can, but at the end of the day, I want my money.
Right, let's take our last call at this point in time. Good afternoon, welcome to the lunchroom. What's on your plate today? Good afternoon, hello. Caller, go ahead.
Yeah, okay, so I did not hear the response. I don't know if you all did respond to the question of driving to the police station with somebody that you have an issue with.
Ah, yes, we skip that. Yes, so he'll go ahead and give a reply now, I think. Thank you very much, caller.
And again, with the demerit system for private drivers, that's an awesome idea. But again, with the reason why you're talking about, sometimes they would take the permit away from a bus driver, but then have it reinstated and the person comes flashing it in their face. Again, that speaks to the whole corruption in the system, whether it be nepotism or, again, somebody having a route ban that they have back channels of getting it organized.
Right.
So that, again, has to be looked into, because it's, again, who knows who, and people get things done through back channels. So that they need to, I guess, find out in the system how they can work around it. But other than that, I guess that's just how the system works. So it's up to them now to get to the bottom of it.
Thank you very much, caller. Again,
yes. Thanks.
Okay, to address the caller's concern about driving somebody to a police station, if somebody's on your vehicle, number one, the person is causing a ruckus on your bus, or the person refused to pee, what course of action can you take? Number one, you cannot touch the person. You're not supposed to confiscate anything because it's illegal. Your best bet to get some form of redress is because number one, you wouldn't know the person's name. Let's say for argument's sake, you were to drop the person halfway. How can you direct the police to that individual? Okay, you have an issue. I honestly believe, I know it has been done in the past and it has worked well. You find a police, whether to a police station or police on patrol somewhere, you stop near somebody who works within the force, and then you bring the matter, and then the police will address. So I don't see that as kidnapping the person, you know, by driving to a police station. I don't see it that way.
Very interesting indeed. Gentlemen, unfortunately, however, we are out of time. In fact, we're over time at this point in time. So definitely about both sectors, because I think each one of them deserves a show on their own. So thank you very much, Mr. Michael Flood and Mr. Lucien Joseph, for joining us here to talk about road safety as part of Road Safety Awareness Month. And as indicated, tomorrow I'll be speaking with Mr. McDonald Dixon about Kesno and Zookeeper. And that is a St. Lucian playwright and poet, Mr. McDonald Dixon. Thanks very much for listening to us here at The Lunchroom. I'm your host, Calix George Jr., saying goodbye.